This morning we're going to read Deuteronomy 31, 14 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to die, to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land, into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, 'Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us?' But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods." And this, the next reading is Isaiah 50, verse 7. "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. And I know that I will not be put to shame."
Hey, you may be seated. Let's start with prayer. Lord Jesus, I just really pray that you would speak to us. I pray, God, that we would be alert, but our confidence would be in you and we would not fear. In the name of Jesus, amen. So last week we talked about finishing well, and I would say you cannot finish well if you're not alert. And I'm always amazed in the scripture how God is constantly warning people what's ahead, and he knows. So even in the Deuteronomy reading for today, it's like he knew that they were going to abandon him. But also to me, it was a warning to them. Hey, this is coming. You have an option here, people. You can heed my warning or you can go play a harlot. And I think for us, are we aware we live in a battle? Or are we just complacent? Are we naive? Are we apathetic? That we're so apathetic that we don't see the enemy. I think about Pearl Harbor because I think it's kind of a warning to us. Because at Pearl Harbor, there were warnings about the Japanese Navy, but it was ignored for whatever reason. Part of it, I think, it was this overconfidence. Why would the Japan attack us? You know, we're a great Navy. And I think there's that point where it's like, if you're overconfident, I got this, God. Be careful. And you read the scriptures again, you see Jesus warning us too. It's like, be alert, people. I want to say, it's like, before I continue, when we're alert, it does not mean be afraid. And how often it's equated, being alert is like living in paranoia. No. Being alert is being wise. But it does not mean you live in fear. Just one scripture that Jesus again told us, and I think this applies to you turn on the news, it definitely applies to us. It's Mark 13, 33 through 37. So watch out and be ready. You don't know when the time will come. It is like what happens when a man goes away for a while and places his servants in charge of everything. He tells each of them what to do. He orders the guard to keep alert. So be alert. You don't know when the masters of the house will come back. It could be in the evening, or at midnight, or before dawn, or in the morning. But if he comes suddenly, don't let him find you asleep. I tell you, everyone, just as I have told you, be alert. So, God saved me in 1978. I was 12. And I remember shortly after that, especially early 80s, being a young teenager, that God was coming back in the 1980s because the beast, the supercomputer, was the Antichrist coming. And the last three digits were 666. It's not 1980 anymore, is it? And yet, every generation, you look at the first century Christians, they thought Jesus was returning then. And I think every generation believes this is the time. And I want to say, we're closer than we were. When that fully happens, only God knows. But I would say, compared to the 1980s, we're a ton closer. And because the beast compared to AI is like the beast being a laptop computer compared to a supercomputer. But with that, what concerns me the most, if you actually look at AI, the creators, many of them believe that AI is a manifestation of an entity long ago. And it's like, who puts the outcome of the answers? And they've made it like it's going to save us. No, this is a program. But who's driving the program? I think once we start as a culture putting a faith in something, be careful. AI can be helpful. But I'm going to warn you, do not put your faith in it. Because there are cultures like, this is going to save us. No, this can mislead us. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I think that's, in the Matthew reading, Jesus is saying, keep your eyes on me, be alert. Don't just, Jesus is coming, 50 years from now. I don't have to worry. Jesus could come today. Jesus could come tomorrow. He could come 50 years from now. In my flesh, it's like it's hard to believe it'd be 50 years. But in the 80s, that's 40 years ago, almost 50 years ago, it didn't happen. But Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready. And to be that, we need to be alert. So let me ask you this. Let's say you go home today and you find your front door open. Lights are on. Are you going to walk in there casually like, everything's fine. I must have just left the front door open and didn't remember. Or are you going to be alert? It would be stupid not to be alert. But do we live our life being alert? Because we do live... Again, like I said earlier, a battlefield. Okay, number one, we still have a sinful nature trying to draw us away. I don't know about for you, but it's a battle every day. It's like, I don't like that thought. Or, I really screwed up there. My heart wasn't right. I do the very things I don't want to do. But I love how when Paul goes from Romans 7 to 8, he said, but thanks be to Jesus Christ. That is our hope, and that's where we need to focus. And this battle does not end until we get to heaven. Can we accept that? Because Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want everything to go well so you can relax? You don't have to be on guard. Yep. I think we all want to go back to the Garden of Eden where everything was this right. We can't. And I would say that will only happen when we get to heaven. And in our culture, we want peace. We want what we want. And there's a deception there that says everything's okay when it's not okay. Or the deception that it becomes about us and not about Jesus. How easy it is to justify sin. Make it a little bit personal, but I found it interesting that in America, 42% of people are obese. Okay, we're eating too much. We're not taking care of ourselves. Is eating a sin? Oh no. If you don't sin, if you don't eat, you're gonna die. But it's that hard, that battle to say no when you need to say no. But also, how Satan comes along and goes, look at you, look at you. How can you ever please God? That battle is part of it. Our righteousness, our goodness is in Jesus and Jesus only. Beating yourself up, you just fell into the hand of the devil. Because he is the accuser of the brethren. But going before God and saying, God, help me. Help me with my struggle, with whatever it may be. And I would also say, in that struggle, the flip side happens. We judge people. Well, how can they call themselves a Christian? Because look at what they're doing. If you truly understand grace, you realize without the grace of God, you're the worst sinner in the world. It's really hard to judge people when you know without God, you're the worst sinner in the world. Paul realized that. And Paul even justified more because he was a persecutor of the church. Okay, I've never been a persecutor of the church. But I realized without the grace of God, I can make Hitler look good. Do we realize that? Because if you realize that, you tend to be more alert because you're humble. When you think you got it all together and you got it going together, you don't need Jesus. And pride swells up. That's not being alert. Paul warns us again about the times we live in First Thessalonians 2-8. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, when disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. But you are not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on guard. Do not sleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. The night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us live in the light, be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing our helmet, the confidence of our salvation. Did you hear that part? We are not children of the dark. We're children of the light. Okay. If we're children of the dark, I'm sorry, at night, and my wife doesn't like night lights, it can get interesting for me to get to the bathroom. Because I can't see. And there's often I bump into things because I can't see. It's true for all of us. I hope you guys have night lights. But scripture right here says we are the children of the light. What does that mean? It means that we can see the truth. And how do we see the truth? Part of it is being in the Word. There are so many times when I'm listening to people talk. In what they believe doesn't align with the Word. And I keep arguing, we need to know the whole Word, not just a little bit here and a little bit there. Because there's that danger, you can twist things to sound good and sound right. And if you don't know the whole scripture, it's like you have no way to go, wait a minute, that doesn't fit. What do you do with all these scriptures? But it begins to mislead us. We see it in our culture, where things that are clearly wrong in the scripture are now celebrated. But if you're not walking in light, you don't know. And Satan's all about deceiving us. And the world is all about, hey, follow. Follow the shiny things. Don't go with the flow. But then we begin walking down that wrong path. And sometimes we don't even know it. I look at my own life from young age, how so many times I got caught up in false doctrine. And I seen how the Holy Spirit would just bring scripture upon scripture, or he'd bring the right people and like, wait a minute, this doesn't match up. And he saved me from it. Because I had other friends that got into it and they really got off course. And I guess they safely say some abandoned the faith because they were not walking in the truth. They began to believe something that was not true. And here's the thing, they began to believe it was going to save them. So, walking in the light, being alert, how do we do that? My biggest concern with walking in the light is that we walk by faith. Because I see too many people walking in fear. And God does not want us to walk by fear. Fear doesn't change anything. To be alert, to be wise, yes. But to walk in fear, like, oh, I can be deceived. That list goes on and on and on. There's that point. To live by faith means we have our firm foundation that by the grace of God, we are saved through Jesus Christ. And we are kept by God. Fear says that I have to earn my salvation. My theology has to be right. I'm sorry, none of your theology is all right. Let's face it. There's error in your theology because I want to say we serve an infinitely perfect God. Who understands infinity to begin with? Who understands the transcendence of God? He's not like us. We're creating his image, but he's not like us. He's far above us. Who can understand his ways? It says his wisdom is inscrutable. How many of you feel like God's, when you're going through something hard, God's wisdom is inscrutable? How often it's like, I don't like this God. I don't agree with this God. But for walking by faith, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, God, I don't like this. I don't understand this. But I choose to trust you. That is walking by faith. And I choose this horrible thing that I'm going through, that you're going to work it for good, because it is not good. It does not feel good. But because you're sovereign, you're going to work this for your glory and my good. And you have to trust that to the end, because in the midst of the storm, you're not going to understand. It's only when it's complete you can go, oh, okay, I understand. And some things I would argue we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. So when we're alert, there's a confidence in who God is. But there's also a confidence in who Jesus, what Jesus has done for us. Because if there's not a confidence in Jesus, we're going to try and earn our salvation. You can't. Because when we try to earn our salvation, we create our own law. If I do X, Y, and Z, then I'm right before Jesus. Doesn't work. But I want to say, when we love him, when we're walking in the light, we're going to want to do his will. But often, for myself, I look at my life each day, and how well did I perform? How's that fit scripturally? My performance doesn't save me. Jesus' righteousness, because of what he did on the cross for me, is what saves me, not me. And the more we understand that, the more we're going to love him, therefore, the more we're going to want to be obedient. Paul in Galatians warns us of this, just us trying to create our own righteousness, our own law. And so in just a little history of Galatians, the reason Paul wrote this was they were going back to the law. Hey, you had to be circumcised. Hey, you had to follow the law. And this is what Paul said. For if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Now, do we not want to follow the law? Okay, I'm going to eat shrimp. It's an abomination, but I'm going to eat shrimp. I like shrimp. Now, if God told me to, not to, okay. But who wants to go? The idea, the murder, to lie, to covet, you can go through a list. Yes, we're going to follow the law. I wanted to say, often we have our own law. Be careful with our own law of, again, how we earn our own righteousness and be right before God. That's my bigger concern, because you put your confidence in it instead of Jesus. Maybe simply put, in our culture, I'm a good person. No, you're not a good person. I'm not a good person without Jesus. And there's many days, like I've said many times, I'd like to divorce myself, but God won't let me divorce myself. Because there's a battle that goes on. If there's a battle go on, then we need to be alert. And being alert means paying attention. A few days ago, I visited a friend in the hospital, and she's a believer, loves the Lord, but she shared how she was struggling with anxiety, and she knew this was wrong. She knew her fear was just not trusting that God had her. And I just reminded her in terms of you need to live in the present moment versus how often I worry about the what ifs of tomorrow. And somehow if I get prepared for the what ifs, it's gonna save me. It's not gonna be so bad. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. If we're alert, again, there's a point where we can't live in fear. Are we gonna battle fear? Yeah. But again, at the end of the day, where are you gonna land? Are you gonna land and I'm gonna trust God? Even though I don't understand? Or are you gonna let that fear grow? And with my friend, she was realizing she was letting it grow. And it's really hard to stop once that train gets going. And if we're alert, we need to learn to stop it early. It's going to happen. We're going to be tempted. But take those thoughts captive. That's part of being alert. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14 says, be alert, continue strong in the faith, have courage and be strong, do everything in love. Here's why I hear him saying, be alert to those things who are trying to deceive you from what is true. Be alert about those things that become an idol or become more important than Jesus. Trust Jesus and believe his word more than anything else. And do not let the things of the world make you question your faith. But be bold and courageous about how you love Jesus and others. Are you strong in the faith? Jesus warned people, said many will fall from the faith. This is not something to fear, but it is like, where are your eyes fixed? At the end of the day, are you evaluating? Is Jesus Lord in my life, or is it me? And being able just to pray, God, help me. Often in the end of the day, I have to repent. Because there's a part of me, I want to do what I want to do. And there's that point of like, God, forgive me and help me trust you and follow you more. Because Jesus wants to bring us home. And again, our confidence has to be, as we love him, no one can snatch us from the Father's hand. But often people put their trust in other things or other people. Many years ago, I had a very close friend who placed his trust in a man to lead him through the narrow gate. And so if you're familiar with the narrow gate, it's in Matthew 7, where Jesus says he's the narrow gate. But all people distort that, like, that they know the way. And my friend would not listen to anyone. He would not listen to me. He wouldn't listen to other godly people. I'm not saying I'm godly, but just people who knew the word and saying, this is not good. And he truly thought he was being alert and following Jesus. And yet he was greatly deceived. And he wasn't aware that he was beginning to live a new gospel, that he could earn his salvation, and he could not see the pride, that he knew the way and everyone else was wrong. In fact, I remember talking to him And at one point he said, you know, I'm one of the most humble people I know. And I thought, ooh. But he didn't see it. He truly, sincerely thought he was following Jesus. He didn't see he was deceived. And his gospel created a lot of fear. Because in his gospel, if you sinned and you didn't repent of it, you weren't going to go to heaven. And he didn't see that he went from the light to the darkness. And there was great destruction in his relationship with others. And I would say great destruction with his relationship with Jesus. For he had a gospel that twisted the truth and made it to be a lie. Because it was a gospel that if you got it right, you were saved. And if you didn't get it right, you're going to hell. If we're walking in light and we're being alert, our eyes are going to be fixed on Jesus. Are you going to get it right? Again, no. You're not going to get it perfectly right. But if you, as you trust him, can you trust that he will guide you? That he will keep you? Then there's nothing to be afraid of. But again, beware. For the devil's wants to deceive you. We have our sinful nature wanting, opposes the things of God, and we have the world who's constantly pressuring us or enticing us. And in Hebrews 2:1-3, we're warned and encouraged to stay the course. It says, that is why we must listen all the more to the truths we've been told. If we do not, we'll slip away from them. These truths given by the angels proved to be true. People were punished when they did not obey them. God was so good to us to make a way for us to be saved from the punishment of sin. What makes us think that we will not go to hell if we do not take the way to heaven that he has made for us? Okay, God's truth does not change. God's truth is immutable because God's immutable. And if God's a liar, then we all live in vain. If one thing of what God has said is false, then God's not God. So to be alert, we have to know his truth. And we have to believe it. And believe me, there's sometimes I don't want to believe it. In my flesh, there's a wrestling with it. But again, I'm sorry, I keep saying, at the end of the day, where are you going to land? Are you going to put your trust in him or not? And where is your confidence? If your confidence is you, you're going to fear. If your confidence is him, you will... I want to say have peace, which is true, but at the same time, there's a battle for that peace. But, again, that peace is only in trusting him and knowing him more. I want us to finish well. But part of finishing well then means we need to be alert to put our trust in him, knowing there's a battle that goes on. But again, the confidence that he's the one who will bring us home, not us. Amen.